we'll tell a love story, and they would say, "Oh, this is made up story." Deep down in their heart, they cannot stop the envy. The envy towards a personage of a story. We are just talking a story, but the envy is there because heart is there, and your heart is not listening to your brain at all. You bring all the logic, but your heart will go that way. That's what.
As in fear of Adam, devil and wild beast fled to the islands from envy.
That's the envy. Satan knew that he is right, but he envies Adam. Because Adam was not humble. Was he? He stood up and he took credit of the thing that was made by God. Humbleness. Some magical stuff happened and said, "We did it." He was not humble. He accepted the responsibility. That is the trick. It's not just pretending and becoming humble. He stood up and said, "It's my fault. I accept the responsibility." Amazingly, this is the responsibility that he didn't know anything about. Just one bite of that fruit. Suddenly, even you, a non-believer, there was an envy over there. Oh yes, that lovely fruit. That fruit is the killer one. That fruit will turn a logical person to a giver, to a fool, to Majnun, to crazy. But you envy that fruit when we talk about it, don't you? When we say, this was the fruit of knowledge of responsibility. We say, it doesn't matter, it's good. Because it's good. That's what you are made for. You are made to be the best channel of that manifestation of beauty. His beauty wants to jump out. And I found several ways. Look at the nature and you will see how many beautiful stuff is out there. But all of that was not enough. We are here to manifest something much better than that. The beauty of love. Beauty in art, we find beauty. We create beauty outside and inside. When I talk about someone like Nelson Mandela, I look at someone who created the most beautiful personality to make me proud that I'm living at the same time he's walking on this earth. And he built it. Worked for it, and he deserves the best. That part is illogical. Go and ask the apartheid people. They will tell you how illogical it is. In that time, being that Nelson Mandela. But to him, this was norm, because the norm is different. Yes?
So in fear of the miracles of the prophets, have the skeptics slunk away under the grass.
That's the miracle. That when we talk about these, you will have the envy and you will be quiet and non-believers will say nothing. This is the miracle of the subject itself. Yes.
That they may live in hypocrisy with the reputation of being Muslims, that you may not know who they are. Like counterfeiters, they smear the base coin with silver and the name of the king. The outward form of their words is profession of the divine unity and the religion. The inward meaning thereof is like darnel seed in bread. The philosopher has not the stomach to breathe a word. If he utter a word, the true religion will confound him. His hand and foot are inanimate. Whatever his spirit says, these two are under its control. Albeit they propound suspicion with their tongues, their hands and their feet give testimony.
Okay. He was talking in this paragraph mainly about non-believers, right? But in the gray area, the non-believers who pretend they are believers. And he went a little further and said, somehow they don't know what's happening to them. Because they're non-believers, but a trace of belief is there, just bothering them. This is that miracle which is happening. Huh, let's look at the miracle differently now. We talked about the miracle from our point of view. Our point of view is we need a miracle because we want to talk about the subject beyond logic. So we need something beyond the comprehension of intelligence and brain. This is one way of describing the miracle. But let me tell you about the problem of this miracle with the logical people. Now here he will make up a story. He will make the story in a way to be difficult to be believed. But because the story is a story coming from a prophet, who could say that this didn't happen? Who could say this happened? And the subject is quite amazing. It goes like this. Once upon a time, in the time of Muhammad, there is this guy whose nickname is the father of Hikmat, or World Hikmat. In this story, his title will be changed. He will become Father of Ignorance, Ujah. He goes from top to bottom. This is not new to us. We just saw Satan be like that. Satan was the favorite, suddenly the doomed, because that's how it is. Higher you fall, smaller the pieces will be. That's how it works. But story is very interesting because this guy will hear that this Muhammad has said a lot of big stuff, wants to go to prove him wrong. Remember this. He comes to Muhammad and will say, Muhammad, I'm told that you know some stuff like that. If you're a prophet, tell me what is in my hand. Ah, me and you. What would you do in a situation like that? Of course you don't know, you're not Muhammad. Muhammad has some direct connection. He said, do you want me to tell you what's in your hand? Or you prefer that what's in your hand will confess that I'm a prophet and I'm right? Which one do you prefer? What would you do if you were that guy?
He chose the latter.
He chose the second one. Why?
Because it was harder.
Looks harder, it's not.
Oh yeah.
Looks harder, right? Because the guy is not here to understand. God is here to disprove. That is why. Show me one intelligent brain who comes here and has some questions to understand. Normally, it doesn't happen. The brain will start the argument because he wants to say, there is no beyond me. I understand. We say, there is something that the brain will not understand. And we say, oh yeah, you understood that. I was saying this is not understandable. But the brain wants to say no. So he will choose the second one. What will happen? One will say, okay, open your hands. We'll open his hands. And like the cartoon, those pieces of stone will say, this Muhammad is the